Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Films Narcitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 485. Dark Phoenix. Is it the Dark Phoenix?
No, it's just
Dark
it's
Phoenix.
Not X-Men.
It's not
Dark
X-Men.
Phoenix.
It's just Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
Dark Phoenix.
X-Men, yeah. Marvel's like, yeah, you're not putting that X-Men tag in front of this movie.
They had already had all the marketing stuff in place before that transpired, though, right?
Like, well, they could say remove X-Men off the top of that.
But I'm saying it had already...
No.
They were already rolling with Dark Phoenix. They weren't calling it X-Men Dark
Phoenix.
No,
it was always called Dark Phoenix.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, Disney didn't step in and say remove that.
Oh, no.
That choice had been made by Fox.
Yes.
But they
yes.
knew for a while they were going to be buying them.
Yeah.
And it got major delays.
This is only in theaters because a couple executives needed the bonuses tied to the theatrical release.
Look,
that's
we just need a little bit of a bump.
That's my theory.
I think that's a good theory.
Yeah.
To
so
have.
I guess let's go around the table and we can introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts where you can go there, rate, review, subscribe. You can also find us on the internet at facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, you can join the League of Show Sharers. People who were kind enough to join the league this week, it's a shame Dan isn't here. It's always a shame
no.
Dan isn't here. But he would be beside himself if he were this, because we have a bunch of new show shares.
Oh man!
Oh, is this due to the MST3K?
I'm assuming this is due to
that's great
to last week's surprise guest Joel Hodgson, who
Thank
stopped
you.
By to talk about Godzilla for what he stayed awake of. I
don't blame him.
I feel his pain.
It felt very long.
It did. So here we go. Here are this week's League of Show Sharers: Victor FF Hernandez.
Thanks for Victor.
John Mentz, Jordan Guerin, Dave Galvin, Brian Knapp, Jason Weese, Travis Tewitt, Brent Smith, Jeff Soltes, I hope I'm saying that right, Susan Carlson, Chris Magic Man, Julianne Jordan, Tammy Sherman Powers, Griffin Fox Smith, Laura Connolly Quiddick, Ralph Tribble, Lane LeVanway, Zara Vandekreek, Linnea Thunso, Librarian Cynthia, Timmy Two Zunes, Aaron Marlowe, Chris Sanders, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, and Gabriel Lugo. So thank you very much for
sharing. Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know her musings of a cosplay witches, because I have not heard from her in a while. Dustin? I mean, I'm just saying, like, did she stop listening to the show? I'm sure they're still together, but what's up with that share? What's the share going on there?
Man, he's calling people out.
I know.
It just used to go together, so
yeah,
it would always be
like, boom, boom.
Nerds at Night Gaming, musings of a cosplay.
She changed her password, so now he can't just log
he
in and share.
Can't do it for
it
her. Yeah. So if you would like to join the League of Show Sharers, we would love to have you. And also, don't forget our Patreon account at patreon.com/RealSpoilers. So $5 a month gets you bonus content, and occasionally we dip into that pool of people to find a guest.
Yeah.
Didn't do it this week.
For some reason, no one wanted to come on for the Dark Phoenix episode. It's really weird.
That was our
strange.
That was our gift to you. We didn't put you on the spot and ask you to do this episode. And I guess we should start with my streak has ended.
Oh, yeah.
This is the first time we've done an episode where I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, look at that.
So
400-plus episodes.
Tom was jet-setting, and then he came back and went to every event in St. Louis.
Jet-flying, limousine ride.
Yeah, it was a busy weekend because we got back from Mexico on Monday. And
you
then
flew to Boston for Game 7?
Yeah. Of what? Yeah. And then had to pick up. We landed at 5:30 and then picked up and then had to go right back to the airport to pick up my son from the airport at 7:30 because he was getting back from Europe. After he was stranded for 2 days.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the American Airlines really
mucked it up,
crapped the bed, and he was stuck for like 2 days in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Did they take care of it?
They gave us like a $175 voucher. That'll buy back 2 days of your Europe trip.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Wow.
But, and then Tuesday I had to see the next movie.
Yep.
That we're doing on the next episode, and then I saw Marc Maron.
How was that?
Cool.
He was funny. He was really good. It was interesting because as we were leaving, as the room was letting out, and it was sold out, so it's probably 350, 400 people in a place like that. Because he was at a club. He was at a comedy club. And I should specify because most markets he plays theaters, but for some reason he played a club here.
I wonder if there was something playing at Stifle.
I don't know, but then he could have done the Fox. There's a lot of options, you know. Two shows at the Pageant, something. But anyway. As we're leaving, the room's letting out, so it's a big crowd, sold out crowd, and then standing there, just like off in a corner, Marc Maron.
Wow.
Nobody's paying any attention to him
what?
At all.
Really?
Like, yeah.
He sells out the room. How does no one go
And they're
talked?
There for him.
Right.
And he's just standing there. And I'm like, so I just kind of walk over, and I'm like, hey, can I have a picture? And he's like, sure. So
how strange to sell a place out there.
So
I was like, oh, let's go to the bar and get some drinks.
Well, it was weird because we were sitting. I bought tickets right when they went on sale, so we ended up in like the second row of table. So we were super close to the stage, and if you're looking at the stage, we were off to the right, and then there's like this little pipe and drape thing that hides the door for the dressing room where they're at. And the drape hadn't been pulled all the way, and I could see into the dressing room just a little bit, the couch. And so I was see if he was sitting on the couch, so I was kind of keeping an eye on it. And then I look up, and like he had like come out of the dressing room. This is about 10 minutes before the show starts, and he's just kind of standing next to the pipe and drape looking at the room on the stage. Nobody notices.
Man.
And I'm looking at him, and then he looks over and looks at me, and he kind of has like an – like an
oh no,
like an uh oh, and I just kind of smile at him, and he like nods, and I nod, and then he goes back inside.
Oh, nice. I had a moment.
That's nice.
Good job.
Now, did you ask him to be on the podcast?
No. God, can you imagine?
Yes.
How many people must hit him up for
that?
Oh,
for sure.
And all I could think of is like whenever you go to one of those Kevin Smith Q&As.
Right, that's exactly what
it's just.
Can you? I have a podcast.
Right. Would you be on my podcast?
No. No, I won't.
The gall of some people.
Yeah.
Like, just you to have the common sense to understand.
You could ask me. I'll be on your podcast.
Well, And so.
They know. That's why they don't ask.
Yeah, I know. That's a conscious choice. And then the next night, we went and saw John Cusack.
That's pretty cool.
And so we got to meet him as well.
We get it. You're busy, but me and Joe had to see this movie.
Yeah.
So your little talk of maybe we don't do the episode is not working.
Well, I figure that's that much. I just killed
about seven minutes
of me not having to talk about this movie.
That's
Good. We've got some box office to talk about for all you fans of the box office. And I know that you're out there. So Dark Phoenix opened to the lowest opening of any X-Men movie ever.
I think it's the 12th
movie in the series.
Are you including Deadpool?
I mean, these things have been coming out not adjusted for inflation or anything. I mean, you would think that
they started in 2000.
Yeah, you would think over time, you know, over almost 20 years that they're still making these things. There's been some really successful ones. And so even if a movie wasn't going to do that well, I just can't imagine it being the lowest of all of them. The first.
I think people are just kind of done with it. I mean, you see this, Superman 4, this is the quest for peace of the X-Men franchise.
Oh, you ain't kidding, brother.
That's
this is Batman and Robin of the X-Men franchise.
That's true, because we had Apocalypse, which I guess would have been like 3, and then they're like, when you come out with a fourth one, Superman, or this X-Men,
but
you're
also,
like...
But also, like, they screwed up their own, like, I'd have to go back and but didn't Days of Future Past reset this entire timeline?
Yeah, it's so
muddled and murky.
Well,
and
then they have. Well, we'll get into that, but let's talk about box office real quick first. So this movie ends up opening to $32 million.
Oof.
32. Yeah. Shazam, which no one's ever heard of outside comic readers, opens to $55
million. Yeah.
X-Men, $32 million. That's insane.
I kind of think why you don't see this very often is that, you know, their algorithms and prognosticators have gotten better at predicting when people are done with a movie
or
a franchise. And so they bail on it at a higher level. The threshold, when they see the law of diminishing returns kind of coming faster. And so, you know, when all of a sudden they see a franchise like this and it opens to $60 million, then they're just like, we're done here.
Right. This is our last one.
And because Fox doesn't have stable of franchises.
They don't need anything now.
Well, not now, but previously.
Sure.
And so
they had Alien was them, right?
Okay, but those are the same thing. Those
correct.
Agree. All those sequels, you know, pseudo sequels.
Two is the only sequel that's worth a damn.
Yeah, and they've been trying to like revive that thing, and it's been meh.
Yeah, and then Predator, same thing.
Right.
Same.
And so they kind of have to stick with it.
Right.
And I think also before the buyout, they didn't want to give up the rights, so they're like, well, we have to keep making these movies, or we'll lose the rights.
Sure.
And I also think there's no Wolverine.
They built him up and they injected him in stories where Wolverine wasn't normally.
Right.
Because he was the guy and they killed him off. So it's like, what do you expect? Like
killed him off like 20 years in the future on the time. Like they could have still put him in this movie.
No,
He's in Apocalypse. Gene's the one that sets him loose as when he's Weapon X.
But you're right. But they killed him off in the future. You're right. But then we knew that was his last X-Men movie.
Right.
So it's like,
until Marvel's like, oh, by the way, here's $200 million.
He's too old now.
No,
he can't.
I don't think it has anything to do with age or money. I think it has to do with the fact that
they don't want to do it.
They don't want
to. Continuity.
I don't think they would want to bring in an actor
from the Fox stuff.
From the Fox stuff playing the same character.
Yeah.
I think they're going to want to draw a very hard line in the sand. And
well, no, wait a minute. They're bringing in Deadpool
into the MCU.
Absolutely,
but he never really coexisted yet.
He did. He was
a little bit.
No,
but
he walks in when
the X-Men are all there.
Like I said, no, he did one cameo scene. He never really. It wasn't enough for them. Like they've got something that they cannot throw away. They can't.
I don't disagree, but I'm just saying
it's also a guy in a mask.
Yeah, but he barely wears that mask. Ryan Reynolds barely wears that mask.
I think it's different. You haven't. Wolverine has been in every X-Men movie, bar
totally
one.
Totally agree. Correct.
Deadpool has been in his own movie with B-level characters and in another movie with B-level characters and a cameo. It's not the same thing.
I'm just saying. If they're introducing the multiverse into.
But
the
I
MCU.
Also think Deadpool has the advantage of. He's the court jester who breaks the fourth wall, and he can make a joke about that.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't inject Wolverine into a storyline, and he can't do that.
And just completely forget that he was in 15 other movies.
I do think he's getting too old, though, too. I mean, he said it. It takes him too long to get in shape. It's like he's getting older and more jacked for every movie.
Yeah, right.
He can't do that. Like he's touring now. He's making a ton of money going on world tours and everything. Like he's making plenty of money doing the Broadway stuff he loves. And
I think they want to give X-Men a break.
Oh, I think you're totally right.
I think my guess is that we'll see Fantastic Four.
Yes.
And they'll go through Fantastic Four on this next cycle because there's no love for that property.
Yeah. For the Fantastic Four?
Not from the cinematic standpoint.
Not at all.
But there, even though X-Men has been hit and miss, there is love for the X-Men for some of them. And certainly there's love for Wolverine. So I mean, if it were me anyway, I'm like, let's do this next cycle of movies.
5 years.
5 to 7 years. Let's do this next cycle of movies. And as we incorporate Fantastic Four, let X-Men take a breath.
Right.
And then people will be excited to see it again. Because to try and bring X-Men back now.
No, it's not a good idea.
After this turd. No. And I haven't seen it, but I just mean, I know people are not liking it and it didn't make any money.
Right.
It's just now it's got the stink of failure on it. And I think Disney, nobody wants to lose money, but I think this movie failing did them a huge favor.
Oh,
that's true. Absolutely. It was a nice clean break.
If
where
this movie had been a hit, if this movie had opened to $120 million and they were and people were still passionate about it.
And they said no more.
And then they'd, yeah. now it'd be like, well, now what do we do?
Now we have to go. Now I have to
You're right. This is a
this
really good way to.
And,
I mean, I don't think they deliberately tanked this movie.
No. No.
They'll take the money if they can get it. They just spent $70 billion.
Simon Kinberg tanked this movie.
Yeah. But this is this. If this movie had made $120 million, it would have been the equivalent of like you know a quarterback controversy in football.
Yeah,
of
yeah.
like, oh, geez, now what do we
so
do?
So wait, the guy you have that just won the MVP, you're going to bench because you got somebody new?
Yeah,
because
you like, got a rookie who's
right.
hot. Yeah, like
it doesn't make any sense.
So I mean, I think they are ultimately probably secretly happy.
Yeah,
that
in the long run,
it's a very easy answer. Now
there's another movie floating around out there. That New Mutants movie. Like that still exists.
Yeah,
like
it got
out
delayed.
In, out
it's still
ether,
set for release.
Like, who knows? Maybe.
Well, no, I mean it is.
Is it
just got delayed?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. With reshoots and who knows what else?
Yeah,
I still just, wouldn't be surprised to see that just pop. Up
I wouldn't either
on a streaming platform
come November.
Yeah.
Disney's like, oh yeah, here's New Mutants.
I don't think it's a rated R though. I don't think they're going to do that on Disney Plus.
That's what Hulu's for.
Yeah, I mean, but not
oh,
on Disney,
sure,
but
sure.
Yeah. Talking about November. Yeah,
right.
I mean, you could release it somewhere else, sure.
But no, but I mean, they bought Hulu for that reason. So
to
they
to release the, it's,
I think
it's
like
their touchdown.
I think the Fox stuff will live on Hulu.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, and the edgier Marvel stuff will be on Hulu. And you
Give
know,
me that Moon Knight show. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I know. I got that.
So do I.
I don't have number one, but
I got the first appearance.
Yeah.
Werewolf by Night.
I got that Stephen Platt one.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. That's
so
good
to
one.
Add insult to injury, we're not done here yet. So then.
Shoot.
Opening.
I'm always up for insulting things.
Well, so Dark Phoenix opened up, and we'll give you the weekend total in a second, but it made $14 million Friday of opening week. Then on this Friday, second week, it made $2.3 million, which is an 83.2% drop. So here's the deal. I get it. People aren't excited. They know Marvel bought X-Men. They're going to come back in the MCU. They're like, I don't really care about this movie. Okay, so it doesn't do well. Then I think it's summer, you know. People are like, well, let's go see something. I'm curious, whatever. I mean, I'm thinking at least maybe it has a 50% drop because it was already so low in the beginning.
Sure. Right.
But for the fact, I mean, if you had any question of whether or not people cared about this movie, it is the largest drop of any superhero film in history.
How many, can you see how many actual X-Men, not counting Deadpool, but how many X-Men movies there were?
I can definitely give it a shot.
Okay.
But
the only reason I say that is because in these two separate franchises, right, we've had the same story twice. So X-Men 3, The Last Stand is the Dark Phoenix.
Both written by Simon Kinberg.
Yeah. Like, dude, there's 70 years of X-Men stories you can tell.
And both coming too soon.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
There's no reason.
Dark Phoenix is their endgame.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And that's exactly. It's even their Infinity War. Even.
Right. You couldn't let Endgame be the third movie in the franchise.
No.
Like, you had to do all this. The reason it works is because of the 20 film prologue.
Correct.
That precedes it.
You need at least one movie. At least one movie to get you to Dark Phoenix. You know what I mean? Like,
and I would argue you need more than
that. Well, I mean, I need one movie to set up Dark Phoenix. Not like Jean Grey doesn't become Dark Phoenix in one sitting.
Right.
Like, there's...
Well, this was supposed to be a two-part movie.
But I mean, like, so
and
there's
I
a
I don't
whole...
even think that's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you
the
need
tragedy
trying,
of...
Yeah.
The tragedy of it comes from the fact that you're invested in this character. And you can't do that in two movies.
She needs to get the power of the Phoenix in, like, the first movie. And then by the time you get to the fourth movie is where it all
but,
breaks
Well, we'll
loose.
Get into it, but that's the other main problem. Do you guys remember X-Men Apocalypse?
Yeah, it was
she
awful.
She has the power then.
I know, which is not like...
And then they totally change how she gets it in this. She just got it last movie, and they gave it to her again in the next movie. So anyway, real quick, the two highest grossing X-Men movies are Deadpool movies. That's crazy to me. But seriously,
I have
like,
a hard time counting those as quote-unquote X-Men movies.
But it's
I
just
mean,
funny that
in,
those two are the high, you know, of all the great movies they've had. You've got The Last Stand, which is, you know, but it was the
that's
third.
The, that's the old Brett Ratner, Bryan Singer switcheroo.
And there were not a lot of superhero movies back then.
Yeah.
So it
what
was still,
was
again, still building on the success, 2006.
So we're right before MCU. So that's a year before, right? Because Iron Man was, what, 07?
Yeah, that sounds right.
So we're a year out and Marvel's like, or I'm sure Fox is like, oh, no.
Yeah. And then, but I mean, then you have Days of Future Past, Logan, you know, we're getting to the newer ones, right, which were successful and they were good. And then you go to all the old stuff, and then Apocalypse is way down there. First Class is way down there.
Which should be.
And now
down
Dark
there.
Phoenix.
That's a
First
good
Class.
One. First Class is.
That
yeah,
might
is
be my favorite.
But that was, when people were like, we're not trusting these X-Men
yeah,
movies.
Sure.
But that, it was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, Dark Phoenix number 12, though, it is they are thinking going to make less than $100 million domestic in its run. You know, the only saving grace they have, which it's not much, but it has made $150 million overseas, as these tend
That's
to do.
Yeah.
So $51 million domestic, $150 million overseas. So they might make back, you know, part or, you know, most of its budget.
If they can get 80-90% in the bank and kill this franchise. Good dad.
Yeah, take it out
so
behind
they,
the shed and put a
so they can
head.
Reboot it within the MCU.
Yeah,
I'd call that a win, man.
Oh yeah, pay
absolutely.
A few, pay a few million to have a nice clean break.
Yeah. Nobody's gonna be complaining when they tell you they're done making it.
No right. one's gonna remember this movie when it's all said and done. No. I've seen it and I don't remember it. You know,
I mean,
just,
I saw it yesterday. So
you know,
I,
me too. I've seen it. And
yeah,
I don't
you just don't remember it.
So my streak is a lot.
You got neuralized.
Yeah.
Oh jeez.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Sorry.
So speaking of the Men in Black coming up in the next one, $28 million.
Oof.
So
man, the dregs
people
of
are,
summer.
I think these studios are so desperate for franchises that they're seeing franchises where there aren't any. Because
oh sure,
I mean this is the fourth Men in Black movie.
Yep,
and they've made one good one.
Oh, three's good.
Three is good.
Three was
three's fun. Three's
there
a
was
I like
moments
three a lot.
That were good, but yeah. I mean it felt
three felt
slapdash.
More like one.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's not. It was a hit movie, but right. it's not something that people have like deep passion for. And it was a hit movie because of the personality of your star.
Absolutely.
It was the star power that drove that. And you think it's a franchise because it's sci-fi and it's got this nerdy vibe and it's based on a comic book and you think you've got
indie,
something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, what you got was a really good Will Smith movie. And now you're trying to make it without Will Smith. And, I mean, you basically just tried to trick everybody into going to see the next Karate Kid.
Yeah, that's true.
And they didn't fall for it.
Nope.
They didn't fall for it.
Yeah, which is weird considering the success of Ragnarok. Like, you know, it's the same people.
It just shows that it's like, that's a franchise that people are into, though. It's not just the stars.
I don't know. And I like Chris Hemsworth, but I don't know that people like Chris Hemsworth.
Enough
they
to
like Thor.
Yeah. Him as Thor is perfect.
Right. Like
and
they
it's just
they haven't made that distinction
right.
in their heads of like I mean he's
maybe that's why he signs the new deal.
Yeah. Oh, you know? I mean he said he'll make as many of those as he wants.
Sure.
Like
oh,
he's,
sure
he knows what
as,
side his bread,
yeah. oh, right.
bread is buttered on. But I think that like Iron Man was a star-making turn for Robert Downey Jr.
I
mean, I know he was already a name, but his star had faded and it reestablished.
Oh,
him.
Right.
But I don't know that any of them have become star. I take that back. Chris Pratt. But with the exception of Chris Pratt, I don't know that anybody has taken a Marvel movie and become a star in the sense that people will watch them in the next non-Marvel
That's
movie.
I think
probably
Chris
true.
Evans could if he wanted to keep making movies. But
he
hasn't
done
direct.
It, so we don't know.
Yeah, but like, he doesn't want to, though. Like, I think he's got so much money now, he can actually just follow
his
passion.
Duty-wise.
But I think he's one as Captain America. Like, I think he's become a star,
I don't know. I feel like I love him as Captain America, but I really don't care about anything. I can't, other than the fact that I know he was in Fantastic Four, I don't know that I can name another Chris Evans movie.
Not you see Snowpiercer?
Movie. Snowpiercer was really good.
Is that the train one?
Yeah
that was
he
good.
He was really good
in
that.
Yeah.
So
I
think
forgot
it
was
it.
Him, though.
The Losers.
No. So.
I like
Losers. But, so, I mean, like, Chris Hemsworth is, I mean.
We liked him in that, what was the.
He was great in Ghostbusters.
He was in Rush?
He was
really
great.
Rush was the one I was thinking of.
No, he's done good stuff.
No, he's good. It's just he's not a, like, Will Smith A-list blockbuster star.
Right.
Even though he's in
Cabin
huge movies.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, I mean, he's done great stuff. It's just there's that intangible quality between being someone who stars in movies
and being a
movie star.
Yeah, there's a lot of great art house actors that are just amazing, but they'll never be Tom Cruise. They'll never be, you know, they're not on that level, but they're amazing actors.
Right.
And he just hasn't found that role yet. That he role. Might. I hope he does because I like him.
He's funny. He's really good.
He's really funny. It's nice to see somebody who's like that. Like, chiseled and good looking,
sure,
but and still funny.
Yeah, like, you I don't thought he was hilarious in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, he is
and
hilarious.
He almost
in Ghostbusters.
Improv. He's good at improv.
Yeah, yeah. It's and so I you yeah. know, I hope it happens for him, but
yeah,
it ain't gonna be in minimal.
No,
well,
it's not.
I think he's got plenty of money. So either way, I won't cry too much for him. But anyway, so yeah, we'll get into that movie next episode. But yeah, it's I'm kind of excited about this happening, not for anything personal of the people involved in that movie, but this making franchises out of things that don't need to be.
Sure.
You know, this continuous.
Well, I think X-Men needs to be a franchise.
We're talking about Men in Black.
Oh, still Men in Black. Okay.
So, I mean, the fact is they keep trying to reboot, remake, let's make everything a franchise because MCU did it.
Didn't they want
to
do a crossover with
21
Jump
I would have
Street?
Been totally down with that because those guys are
could
geniuses.
Well, I mean, like, so give me the Chris Lord, Phil Miller. Is that right?
Yeah. Apply their comedy to Men in Black
with
21
Jump
Street guys.
Come on.
That's what I'm saying. Those guys are geniuses.
That
That's why I liked Solo, but I still wanted to see their version because I think they're great. But anyway, I'm just excited because maybe Hollywood is going to
release the Lord and Miller cut.
Yeah. I think Hollywood is maybe going to stop. I'm not saying if they think it can make money, they'll keep doing it. But this is showing that you can't just slap a logo of an existing property on a movie and people just show up to see it. They
anymore.
Won't anymore.
I think you could have.
And you know why?
10 years ago.
You know why?
No.
Because of all these streaming services.
Oh, for sure.
There are so many movies on Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, HBO,
Shutter.
Showtime, Cinemax,
yeah.
Shudder.
Yeah.
The Criterion Channel, whatever that one's called now.
Oh, yeah.
Spectrum Originals. That is a thing.
No.
Spectrum.
Our cable company has its own movies now?
Yes. Spectrum has their own original shows. How sad would you have to be as an actor if you're like, hey, I got cast in a TV show. This is so exciting. Oh, it's a
Spectrum?
It's a Spectrum original? Oh.
To be fair, they probably said that about Amazon when Amazon started.
Yeah, but Amazon
I mean, it was
came out of the gates
with bookstore. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
You know?
I'm just saying, like, to be fair, they're working actors, and
yeah,
it
they're
might
happy
be the
to
next,
get the paycheck.
It might be the next big thing or whatever, but I know what you
it
mean.
It seems unlikely.
Yeah. So, anyway, so let's get into this movie. Let's get into X-Men. I think we should
kill 25 minutes.
Yeah, that was good, because there's not much to say, but I will also
there really isn't.
I will also say this, though. Going into this movie, of course, everyone thought it was going to be a disaster. It's very similar to the Aladdin thing, right?
Yeah,
like, it's so bad. It looked bad. I even, in the trailers that I caught when I was in a theater, you know, I don't like to watch them, but I saw them, and I'm like, this looks terrible. I don't like Sophie Turner. Like, everything about this movie.
Did you not like her on Game of Thrones either?
No.
Okay.
No,
okay.
Not at all. I don't think she's good at all. All
right.
And I didn't like that character, but I think she's bad. But either here nor there. I'm just like, this movie has nothing appealing. I told people, as much as I love superhero stuff, like, if I didn't have to see this for the show, I really had no interest in seeing this movie. Like, get rid of it, join the MCU, I'm done with X-Men. But honestly, I mean, I sat there, I was in an IMAX theater with one other person. That's how I knew the box office would not be good. Opening weekend, one person.
I was bored out of my skull.
But see, I wasn't. And that's the thing. Like, I was perfectly entertained by this movie. I don't think it was great by any means. But I actually liked a lot of the subject matter as far as them dealing with the things they bring up about superheroes and you know, struggling, Professor X struggling
with this
stuff.
I did appreciate that they made him the villain of this movie.
Yeah, like, because when you look at them and they're calling him out on his stuff, you're like, they brought up some really interesting things with superheroes. And then also, I always think it's interesting when you bring in the police and the government and like, well, how would people deal with superheroes? They're great until they use their powers to do something bad.
Right.
And then it's like, you've got to regulate it. You have to shut it down because they're in danger.
You're Team Iron Man.
Is that Team Iron Man?
Yeah. Iron Man was all about. In the comic book Civil War, Iron Man's like, we need to be regulated because whatever happens, regulated.
Of course we need to be regulated.
Right.
Like, we have too much power. Yeah.
He talks Spider-Man into revealing his identity on live TV.
Right, yeah.
And Captain America's like, no. Like, once they start interfering, you know, it's weird that the guy who wears the flag on his chest is like, too much government interference.
Yeah. But so I really think it's interesting the things they brought up with this movie. And I think there were some really bad choices made trying to force Mystique onto this team over and over and over. Like, she's three movies too deep into this series.
Yeah.
Like,
and then she does not want to be there.
Yeah.
She has no interest in being there whatsoever.
I mean, if that wasn't Jennifer Lawrence, right?
Oh, it,
yeah, she
it wouldn't even be a thing.
They
she
had a
be,
star.
That character, yeah. They had a star locked in for Chi.
Yeah, right.
And, you know.
We're using it every chance we
and
get.
And you can tell she is not
she
happy
is
about
not
like,
happy
she's
about
locked
being
in. They got her cheap and early, and now she has to do it. And it's like, she's just bored. But you know what? Spoilers, if you haven't seen this movie, she's not in it for long.
Here's the thing.
Now, I haven't seen the movie, so my first question about Mystique,
Does she eat a baby?
No.
Damn it.
No, she that's just, she had a one deal, yeah. one picture deal for that, and that's it.
Here, I'm honestly surprised they didn't kill more people.
They should have had her eat triplets.
Ooh, yeah.
And then spread it out over multiple films.
Over multiple films, yeah.
See?
That's a good idea.
Should have been a producer.
Good thinking. So, you know what I mean? Like, if they knew this was their last one, they knew that this was it. Kill everybody. What are we? Why are we not killing?
Because I don't think 2 years ago when they started out that they necessarily knew that.
I guess that's
all this
true.
Has happened in the middle or the end of production and post-production. Like, yeah. this has been 2 years of it floating around. And the Disney deal, the ink just dried in March or whatever.
Yeah, I guess
so
that's
I mean,
true.
So that went on for a year. But so they're filming this, and they didn't know. And so I think it was all up in the air. I think they had a couple really good movies, and they had Apocalypse. But you know what? You can't hit a home run each time. If Apocalypse was bad and this was awesome, everyone would forgive them, you know?
Right,
but
right.
But unfortunately, it didn't go that way. But they kill her off. And so this whole movie, though, really is about the X-Men turning on Professor X.
It's a very independent-feeling superhero movie.
Yeah,
like it's a very small movie until we get to the big, you know, the set pieces. But for the most part, it's very introspective, and like it's Hank McCoy saying like you've screwed us over.
Yeah.
Like this is your fault. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you.
The whole thing starts off with Professor X sends them into space to help the astronauts.
Yeah.
And their ship is stranded
by a
broken
quote
down
unquote solar flare.
Yeah, so they can't do anything. So he sends the X-Men to space, and Mystique is not really wanting to do it, but he's like, we don't leave anyone behind, we can save them. So against her will, and she's the team leader now, of course, Mystique.
Yeah.
Oh, team leader sure. of the X-Men, you know, because
let's not forget she's also Rogue and Nightcrawler's mother.
Yeah,
just putting that out there. That's
yeah, and where did Rogue, is Rogue gone now?
we haven't caught so no. Like, so technically this is 8 years before the first X-Men.
Yeah.
So this is 1992.
Well, I can tell because of the way they've all aged so
also,
well.
Like, you know, at least in Days of Future Past, they leaned into the 70s.
Yeah.
This one, they're like, no, you just wear whatever you want.
Yeah.
Like, if you look like you're in 2019, that's
there's
fine.
No attention paid to
none
that kind
whatsoever.
Of stuff. But
except
so,
for, like, a corded phone.
Yeah. So the whole thing is they go up to space.
It's like season 5 on of Happy Days.
Right.
Where it's like, none of you look like it's the 50s.
Yeah.
You're feathering your hair.
Right. That's like not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
Or yet.
So they rescue one or two of the astronauts.
The bulk of them, but the team leader is still inside.
Yeah, there's one left, and they're about to leave, and Xavier's like,
yeah, he's like, no, go back in.
And then Jean Grey is you know, they have this backstory about her and that she's, you know, really nervous to use her powers and such, and Professor
Well, I don't think she's nervous. Like the Professor X, what he basically does, and he puts a bunch of mental blocks into Jean's brain to stop her from feeling pain about, or he blocks out memories basically. So he kind of does the one thing that he's trying to undo for Wolverine in X-Men 1 and 2, like he does it to Jean where he's blocking out her memories. And then so she jumps into the ship with Nightcrawler, who I got to tell you, that kid sucks. Like, I know they're trying to duplicate what they did with Alan Cummings, but like that was a once in a lifetime performance and nobody else is going to duplicate that.
It doesn't bother me,
oh,
but
he was terrible.
Yeah.
So he phases into the ship. Jean is holding it together because she's exerting so much power. It attracts the Phoenix Force, which is what this is.
Which, if you remember in Apocalypse, she had it, but somehow she doesn't now. So
yeah.
it's just so weird to retcon a movie that isn't a reboot, that wasn't 5 movies ago or 30 years ago. Like, we literally just saw her with the Phoenix. I think a Phoenix was in the air and flames above her. Like,
she breaks out of a house
and she's
surrounded
she
by
did
a Phoenix.
The Phoenix.
The final scene was entirely filmed in Arizona.
Yeah, everything
right.
was there.
So hot.
And then in this movie, the thing gets her, and it's like, okay, she's got the Phoenix Force now.
Cool.
Okay. I didn't know she didn't, but okay.
We were under the impression she had it already, but all right.
So she gets that, and they think that they've lost her, but she's okay,
fine.
And she's more powerful than ever.
Right. So in the comics, it's like a two-part thing, and it starts in like 1976, I think, where Jean tries to fix the M-Kron crystal. Google it. I'm not going to get into it. It's way too
Please
long
don't.
To get into.
Thank God.
And that's how she has. That's how she becomes the Phoenix. About 4 years later, that's when the Dark Phoenix story hits. And they've done actually, honestly, the best adaptation of this is the animated series.
Yeah.
The animated series nails the Dark Phoenix saga almost to a T.
It's a good series.
Yeah. Well, okay. Good. It does not. I don't think the animation doesn't really hold up. That opening credit sequence definitely holds up. That was great. But like this story, you can't do in 2 hours. It's you cannot do this. The Dark Phoenix saga to me is probably one of the first times that Marvel entered into that next step in storytelling. So it's Chris Claremont.
It's one of the first times that like a superhero comic you could read it and go, oh, this is for grownups.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly it. Yeah. So like, I think it was Chris Claremont and Dave Cochran, I think, did the first part. And then Chris Claremont and John Byrne did the actual Dark Phoenix saga. And that was during that time where the X-Men, they're doing some serious stuff in that book.
Oh, was this before The Dark Knight Returns and Watchmen?
So it was 1980.
Yeah,
it was, yeah.
It so been, oh
yeah,
wow, okay.
Yeah, I think that's right because the first part is like 76 or 77, and then the Dark Phoenix is 80.
Okay, so yeah, like, I didn't realize it was.
Yeah, so I mean, like
then.
Neil Adams and Chris Claremont were killing it. On
yeah,
the
I mean,
X-Men
I don't think you would have had a Watchmen or Dark Knight without.
No. So this is the
without,
one that okay.
without
this
what the X Men was doing.
Yeah, this that, is like the Odyssey.
Yeah,
of modern story.
They
comics.
Took that and was when they saw that
you could do that. Yeah.
Oh, we can tell stories like this. Yeah. Well, then do I got something for you?
Okay. Yeah, then, I mean, and you've then got they the hard traveling heroes with Denny O'Neil and Neil Adams. You know, the infamous cover of Speedy shooting heroin into his arm, like that's a cover of a comic book.
Yeah,
at one point.
Well, that predates this.
It
though.
Does. Yeah. Yeah. So like those 70s comic creators, Frank Miller is part of that group. Alan Moore, Chris Claremont, Neil Adams, Denny O'Neil. Those guys were starting to trickle into the main. Like they were getting the Uncanny X-Men at that point wasn't a popular book, but it wasn't what it became. But it becomes that. Number one, the highest gross, the highest selling issue of all time, be cut off the backs of what they were, of what Claremont was doing.
Well, let's talk about what they do here in 2 hours. So basically,
they
the whole the whole movie is about Professor X wanting to send the X-Men into battle to help people, but then you see him reaping all the rewards. He's meeting with the president, and on the news, everyone's like, "Oh, thanks to Professor Xavier and all his mutants." So they're building him up as this huge hero. More so than the actual people doing the stuff.
Right.
And Raven and eventually Hank see him as putting them in danger to further his own.
Right. He doesn't care about them. He just wants to that line that she gives. I was like, well, that was a little heavy handed about like all the it should be called the X-Women.
That was another line
look,
that was just
I thoroughly enjoy the endgame moment of all of the female heroes coming together behind Captain Marvel, which is fine.
Yeah.
But I enjoy that scene a lot.
I love online actually seeing there are a lot of women online that are like, yeah, no, that was bad. Like it's not like every woman automatically went yes because it was women.
No,
like there's people out there that do recognize that was.
I don't have a problem with it. If people have a problem with it, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I thought that line.
Which if you enjoyed it too, Katie loved it. I'm not saying that's bad either. I just mean it's not a like I'm the only person that thought that stood out.
No.
There's quite a few people. Yeah.
But that she basically says the women around here are doing all the work and you're getting all the benefits. Like this should be called the X-Women.
Yeah, it was
what are you doing? Like, why is that line even like he wasn't even making a comment about women like that wasn't
because
the
I
thing,
feel
and...
they felt they had to. I think they feel that every movie is making that statement.
Yeah.
And
they do
there's
it
a lot that do it.
Well.
I know. And there's a lot. They're doing it way better. But everyone feels like they have to include the comeuppance, the female character and in the right context and written well, it's really awesome and kick ass. Like I think Valkyrie and Ragnarok is great.
Oh yeah,
you know, and obviously Captain Marvel has some amazing moments in Endgame, and so you can handle it really well. But then this comment, and I think
they came out of nowhere.
I think because like, it's not in a great movie too. You're like that was just bad.
Yeah.
But so basically, Jean at a party, she ends up like blowing some kids up. They're not dead, but like they're at a party, and the Phoenix Force starts rising, and all of a sudden she just has this huge explosion.
Right,
and she injures Scott. And she realizes she's a danger to people once she wakes up. And so she just leaves and she goes to find her dad because she finds out from Professor X.
Well, she like her those blocks that Professor X has put into her brain have started to break down.
Yeah, the Phoenix Force is like getting
she's,
past
she's
them.
Basically the Phoenix Force is basically rewriting her brain.
Yeah.
And removing all of those blocks. So she finds out that
we see a car crash them being in the movie and it looks
which
like,
was actually really well done.
That was fine.
It was all practical. It was well done.
I think there's a lot of stuff in this movie well done. I just think the story overall isn't that great, but the action and stuff, I think it's pretty good. But so we think that both the parents are dead, although you do see the dad moving a little bit to where I question, I'm like, wait, he doesn't look dead. And so you find out Professor X says he is alive, but I, you don't know why, but he's like, but I did it for a reason. I had good reason to protect you, whatever.
It's also, this is the trope that we always talk about where it's like, these two characters can read each other's minds.
Right.
So they can get any information they want from each other at any point in time.
But isn't Professor X strong enough to block people from...
Not the Phoenix.
Not her, but...
But most, yeah. I mean, for the most part, he can block anybody.
Not with her new powers, but usually he can...
Yeah,
keep his,
yeah. But, I mean, now she knows... Like, all she has to do is watch his memory for about five more seconds, and it's like... Oh, he's not the bad
guy. That's true. You're right. For storytelling purposes, yes, you're right. So she goes to that house and she finds the dad and she's looking around the house. There's not one picture of her. It's all the dead mom.
Right.
And so she realizes that he didn't miss her. Why isn't there a picture? She's getting all mad and she ends up
attacks.
And... Yeah. But the X-Men show up and then she's attacking all of them. They're like, come back with us. We can help you. And she doesn't want it. And she ends up killing Mystique,
which was, whatever.
It was whatever. I didn't expect it because I'm like, well, they love her in these movies and they keep making her a big deal. So I was happy once she went away.
Right.
But it definitely was not expected.
No.
But
at the same time, when you look at Rebecca Romijn and what she had to do to be in that role, it's like, I mean, she was butt naked the entire time, had very little prosthetics on. And then I think they even let Jennifer Lawrence do that in First Class. Like, she has a similar...
Yeah.
Makeup style.
Oh, yeah,
but by the time we're here, we're just like, no, we're just going to paint her blue and put like one or two little flecks on her cheek.
It didn't look as bad as it did in stills in the movie. It looked a little bit better, but it is like a lighter blue, very minimal makeup. You can tell her whole body, obviously. It's like her head.
Well, there are scenes where she transforms back into Jennifer Lawrence.
I would be happier if they just did that the whole time than looking at the cheap makeup. But anyway, she tries to help Jean, and then Jean...
I think the filmgoer would, too.
Yeah.
Just because she's a big damn movie star.
She's the biggest star they got.
Yeah. They tried to feed some BS of, like, you know, Xavier's like, be yourself. This is who you are. Don't hide. But we're all like, no,
hide.
Yeah, get rid of that.
Do us all a favor and hide.
So she tries to help Jean, and Jean's like, no, and then ends up killing her.
Yeah, she guts her, basically.
So... Hank is very upset because they're a thing, I guess.
Are they?
But, I mean, you infer they're a thing.
You definitely infer that. Like, yeah. I feel like she's trying to say that I love you.
Oh, but also... That's why he's so mad.
But also, like, Hank is probably... He should be at least 15, 20 years younger than her.
Well, let's not even... if we're going to get into the ages
and
the timeline...
I'm just saying, like, they screwed their time... You know, X-Men Days of Future Past screws with their timeline... Like, it resets it. It brings back Famke Jensen. It does all kinds of weird stuff. And then they go into X-Men Apocalypse, and they're just like, no, don't worry about it.
That's the thing that I don't think there is a way to explain it, because it's just done wrong. But, I mean, they see their old selves in future past, right?
Oh, yeah.
The like old the, cast the, and the new
end,
cast?
No, but at the end of Days of Future Past, they basically say, everything that happened, like... before is gone. Like, what Wolverine does resets a timeline.
Oh, so none of that's supposed to matter anymore.
Right.
Well, because my point, but don't we see some of the old cast?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So Scott Summers comes back. Oh, what's his name?
Yeah. But
they all come back.
Okay, so my point is that this takes place like 10 years or whatever, 8 years before X-Men, and they all look like kids.
Right.
Like, it doesn't
make
sense.
It is the hilarious thing with Fassbender, where it's like, oh, Fassbender in 1962, Fassbender in 1975, right. Fassbender in 92. Yeah. What the hell happened between 92 and 2000?
Where
he ends up looking like Ian McKellen.
Yeah, they can't explain it. So that's why, and I think the difference between, and there's lots, obviously, but when you look at the MCU, they care about that stuff. Those type of mistakes do not happen, and that's why the MCU is so good. Here, they're like, meh.
Yeah, whatever.
We wanted a movie every decade, and they caught up. Like, there is no... So anyway, so Phoenix is taking them all out easily, and she's killed Mystique.
And I guess she goes to Genosha.
And she flies away.
That's the island that they're on is Genosha, which is like it was a big thing in the X-Men comics that Magneto created this sanctuary for mutants.
Oh, okay.
And he was kind of in charge of that whole thing. So they kind of do that in this one, but they don't call it they don't call it anything.
Yeah.
So Jean goes there and she kind of sits down with Magneto, who, I got to tell you, like, he is the MVP of this movie.
He's the best part of all these movies.
Fassbender's
the best part of every one of these
movies.
If
they could bring one guy over, He's the guy I would want to bring over.
Because he's a great actor, and he keeps being in crappy movies. And it's like, this guy can act his ass off. Please make good movies.
And he was a fantastic Magneto in First Class.
He has been in all of them. He's great. That scene in Apocalypse, which everyone hates Apocalypse, but with his family watching them die in front of him. Fassbender is the MVP of every one of these movies. Yeah. I'll say it every time.
That is true.
I like McAvoy and others, but Fassbender
He keeps trying, like... In these movies, with the exception of First Class, I mean, he's not even the villain in First Class. Like, he becomes the villain, but not, you know.
But it's also
he keeps trying to go away.
And
like,
they keep going to...
He keeps trying to live his own life. Like, he has his family.
And not be the villain. And they come up and they're like, hey,
we're going to kill your family. Or Gene shows up. We're like, I'm going to fudge everything up here for you. And he's like, well, you killed Raven. I'm going to kill you. It's like, just... The guy's trying not to be a villain.
Yeah.
Let him not be a villain.
He really is in every movie. So then you get the deal that, like, because in the previous movies, he has this romantic relationship with Mystique.
Yeah.
And Hank is now in a romantic relationship. So Hank ends up leaving Professor X because he's mad. You know, he kind of goes and does his own thing.
I enjoyed that scene between the two of them where Hank pretty much calls him out.
Yeah.
And McAvoy's just like, what? What'd I do?
Yeah.
He, like, typical bully fashion.
He acts like he hasn't done anything.
He's like, think about, what about me? I just lost my stepsister. It's like, probably not the route you want to take, given what you just did.
So now she shows up, and Fassbender is like, you know, leave here. And,
get out of here.
And then she has drawn the military in, and because of what she did at her dad's house, now the military's after her.
Right.
And the military guys are like, we don't want you, Magneto. Like,
you're
good.
Cool.
We want her. And then she's like taking their helicopters and twisting them and throwing them, and like, you know, they're flying away and all that. And, and so she's causing all this crap that's making people more scared of mutants. And it's like, we just got out of Days of Future Past, you know, a couple movies ago where they kind of made amends.
And now
she's screwing everything back
and
up.
And I do like that the X phone is disconnected.
Yeah.
So like they've got this phone that's got a big X on it. It's like a direct line to this is a real thing. I'm not even making that up.
Thing in real life?
Yeah.
He has an X-phone?
An X-phone.
Oh, okay.
So, like, Professor X can call, like, the president can call Professor X and say, we need the X-Men. And he was like, we're on
I
it.
I like that it's a red phone that looks just like the Batman.
No, it was black.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
oh,
it was black.
I just in my head. I'm
but
like,
it had, like, a giant red X. Giant X on it. So, like,
and it's under a glass jar.
This is the shortest turnaround time for the Mandela effect ever.
So, like, he picks it up after all of this has gone on, and the guy's like, the president won't be taking your calls. Click.
Yeah.
And so, this phone will no longer be
used. So now the government's all against them because of what Jean is doing. All the X-Men are mad at Xavier because of him putting them in danger, and their points are valid. Like, this dude just keeps sending them in, not thinking of them, but wanting the accolades.
You know what I just thought of? You know a great way to introduce Wolverine into these movies?
What's
into
that?
The MCU? Mm-hmm. Is you... So Cap is in the past, right? Mm-hmm. So he's running around. What if he goes back in the past and he ends up getting in a war, fighting whatever fight, and he's fighting alongside James Howlett?
Yeah.
And that's how you introduce...
And then would he travel forward to be with the rest of the people?
No,
the
he could just but that's how you say, look, he's here.
Yeah.
And then you just let that story progress where he gets captured.
Oh, and then
by
he doesn't
Weapon
really
X.
age, so he could
yeah,
still be young.
Right, right.
Okay,
and then
got
he shows, and then like he's been he hasn't been, you know, he's kind of been doing his own thing and staying out of the limelight. Now you've got Wolverine.
I'll give it
to
him. The only reason you should ever watch X-Men Origins Wolverine is the opening.
Oh, it's great.
I mean, you watch that and you throw it. You burn it. You say, I've seen it once. You snap it in half and you have to
buy
it.
That is a great opening.
You have to buy it again and then break it every time just to prove that it's so terrible. But the opening's good.
But that's what I mean. I was just thinking like, because they've fought like, and they've told stories of them fighting together. Pre-Weapon X.
So meanwhile, so then you're wondering, when does Jessica Chastain come into all this? There are aliens that show up to Earth, and they end up, she takes over a woman's body who is played by Jessica Chastain.
Who, look, I gotta tell you, looks and sounds just like Emma Frost.
Yeah, I could
like,
see that.
Like, I mean, she's wearing the white, she's wearing all white, she's got the bright white hair, and I was like, okay.
It did make her similar to Emma Frost.
And who was played by January Jones in First Class. We don't talk about that part, because that was like one of the very bad parts of that movie, but...
Why do I... Yeah, I you see, in my head, I'm like, that wasn't Margot Robbie? Because that would have been great,
January,
wouldn't it?
January Jones was coming off of Mad Men, so they were trying to make her into a star, and they tried.
In my head, maybe I wanted it to be Margot Robbie. I have that, for some reason, I'm just like...
I will say, there are some, like, dazzlers in this movie. I was completely shocked. So the scene where they're doing, like, the big party with the X-Men, Dazzler is the one with the lights, and that's her character. It's like, she was a pop star who basically could just throw lights.
Yeah.
Like, she's kind of like Jubilee, where it's just like, I don't really have anything, like, why are you on this team that fights people?
They have a rate. They, well, someone's got her.
What if they fight in the dark?
That's true.
See?
Totally. But like she had, it. She had like the, remember that Dazzler number one where it's like, you know, the very disco-y.
It was very disco-y. I know
she
exactly.
She looks just like that.
Gotcha.
She's got the eye paint, the bodysuit, the whole
shit. That's painful.
Yeah. But playing like an 80s pop song or 90s pop song.
So meanwhile, so Jessica Chastain and these aliens, they want the Phoenix Force and they see that it is on Earth because of Jean. And right. So they track it down. And so their plan is to turn Jean against the X-Men and to have her use the power with them.
Just like Magneto tried to turn Jean in X3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Kinsberg, like, I guess he's a producer. I guess it's what he does. But he is bereft of original ideas. He was like, can I just read that in my X-Men 3 script and I'll just try to fix that again?
So, and the whole thing, I mean, you can hit some bullet points, but the whole deal is
that
the X-Men are mad at Xavier. Jean is being, they're trying to convince Jean to fight with them.
Yeah.
And then she's there. She's like mad at everybody. She's with Chastain's character. And then basically at the very end,
they reveal that there's 5 more seconds of memory that make Charles Xavier the hero.
Not the bad guy. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Then it's like, oh, the dad is like, yeah, I don't want her. And Xavier's like, yeah, she can come live with us. So if she would have watched that 5
right,
seconds,
right.
You're right. It's that, yeah, could you just watch 5 more seconds
if
of that memory,
seen the rest of that memory, everything would have been fine. Yeah. So they Jessica Chastain tries to...
Oh, and meanwhile, Chastain is like, if she won't do it, then
I'll
just
do it.
Take it from her.
Right. Yeah. So they, Jean, you know, there's a big fight on like a train that was kind of cool.
I thought this was great. And this is the entire ending is reshot.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Okay. So the original ending was going to have... the bad guys, from Captain Marvel,
the Skrulls.
Yeah, I believe that's the original was going to have them.
Well, I mean, I guess that makes sense. They're shapeshifters.
Yeah. So it was supposed to be them, and that's and
how the why didn't they make them the Shi'ire or whatever like that? There's like a whole alien race that are integrated into the X-Men.
I don't know. I guess he wanted them in this movie, and so when they did it, then they're like, oh crap! So they had to scrap that idea because they were going to go into outer space and they were going to fight them, and it was like, wow, this sounds really similar to Captain Marvel. And then
so there's an article on Cosmic Book News that says that Disney was like, change your ending because of Captain Marvel. I didn't realize that there was
that's why. So, but this whole ending they do, so they end up having the fight take place on a train, and I think it's a really good action set
piece. It's not bad.
I think it's really good. They're all the X-Men that are still around. So you have like Hank,
you have Nightcrawler,
Hank,
Storm, Nightcrawler, Professor X.
Storm is good in this. They use Storm
She
effectively.
Was fine. Yeah, I mean she's...
I think she's better than the Halle Berry stuff.
I mean, you're setting the bar pretty low.
But I mean, but it's like she's a great character and they use her so poorly and it just comes off as a joke
Do
in the past.
Do you know who the other character who can pick up Thor's hammer is?
Who?
Storm.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Her and Captain America are the only other two in the MCU, in the Marvel universe.
That sounds... I think I've seen that comic and I just
forgot
about
it. But in the DC universe, there's two as well.
Bruce Wayne.
Nope.
No, Superman. He can't?
No. Superman and Wonder Woman. Are the only two that could pick it
Batman
up.
Batman can't?
Hell no. He's not worthy.
No, he's not worthy.
Yeah. He shoots people with machine guns, Kevin.
Well, that's not the one that I was talking about.
No, Superman and Captain and Wonder Woman.
So, and then do you know who the bad guy mutants are that are fighting? There's a guy that whips his hair around. I'm not familiar with him.
It looked like they were trying to... So Warpath or his brother... James Proudstar, I think. Well, that he looked similar.
Okay,
but like that's not what his mutant power was.
Okay,
I feel like they may have wanted to introduce a more mutants, but they were just like, "What's the point?" Like, because that guy sticks around for a while, and they never tell you his name.
Yeah, I didn't know who he was.
No, they never mentioned. I mean, he kind of looked like Bishop, but he wasn't black. But he kind of had that Warpath kind of look. But the big fight. They release Jean Grey. Jean Grey sees the extra memory in this scene. She realizes that we have to get this into outer space.
Meanwhile, all the military did capture the good and the bad mutants.
Right.
So now you've got the government trying to capture all the mutants because of Jean Grey's crap. So bad guys, good guys, they're all locked up and they have the inhibitors on them.
Right. They cut them all. And that doesn't matter.
And so all the bad guy mutants are killing, slaughtering just easily the humans.
Bad guy aliens.
And one of the guards finally goes and unlocks them, you know, because they're like, yeah, you're going to die without us, the cliche. And the guard's like, oh, see you later. We're going to go fight.
Choop.
So one of them finally does it. They all get loose. Magneto is just completely
badass. I gotta tell you,
man,
like they use his powers the right way. He looks.
He picks up a train car and crushes the bad guys.
It was awesome.
Like he does some
really
cool stuff.
It's crazy like there are, we talk about how sometimes comic book version of costumes do not work on screen. For whatever reason, they have darkened that helmet where like the helmet I think originally was like a red and a purple.
Yeah,
and this one it's like a gray and black, and man, it is effective. Like it's a good looking.
He looks awesome. Yeah, man. It's for some reason he can walk around with that crazy helmet, and it's great. I think Fassbender is just so good that you're like, yeah, that dude. So
we won't talk about Assassin's Creed, but
no. So I mean, they're fighting, and eventually, I don't know what happens.
Gene pulls that one alien into outer space.
Oh yeah, that's the other. Well, no, I guess that's a different movie. So having seen Brightburn recently,
oh sure,
in my mind,
yeah.
When she flies,
yeah, and then like she disintegrates the.
I just saw
this. Jean Grey basically takes out everybody.
Yeah,
disintegrates this last alien, and then the process blows up herself. But because she's the Phoenix, like she always comes. That's the thing about Jean Grey is they actually just brought her back, and she's been gone for a while in comics, and they just brought her back.
So she just like floats around and eventually reforms.
Yeah, basically, okay. Like and she sometimes she has more control over the Phoenix Force, and sometimes she does. It doesn't, you know,
she doesn't know how to use it yet. It would make sense that she would be gone and like you don't see her for
a
while.
But here's the crazy thing, right?
Yeah,
she has it in X-Men 1.
Yeah,
no 2.
Yeah,
it debuted like she does it again in X-Men 2.
Like. Where a decade later.
And it's a shock to everybody. It's just like, but
that's the thing. They don't line up. Their grand plan to have these all meet up, Joe, I don't know if you realize this, it did not work out.
It would have, honestly, it would have worked if they would have just stopped at Days of Future Past and then tried.
Yes, they could have course corrected. You could imagine the adventures they would go on, whatever. But
now you've got the core X-Men back. But yeah, so then she
But they erased
up.
It all, remember?
They
it doesn't
did.
Have to meet up, as you said. So see, they gave themselves
just
an out.
A big mess.
They changed the timeline, so now everything is original. So you can't say she knows it next to, because she doesn't. They changed it.
But now it becomes the Jean Grey School for Gifted Learning.
Yeah, I'm like...
Which is a thing. Like, it does become that in the comics. Like, they do change the
name.
Really?
Okay, because
but
I'm
why
like...
Why would they change the name?
I have no idea.
I mean, they keep the names of people on things when they
die. That's a good question. That's a good point. So then Hank takes over as the headmaster because Xavier quits.
Yeah,
and
that's
walks away.
But and this is such a weird thing to end it on this note because obviously they intended more story after this. But we leave with Jean Grey is dead.
Yes.
Xavier,
well, we see the Phoenix fly over.
But we don't know what that, I'm just saying, like, as far as this movie without knowing how it works,
sure.
If you're going to this movie without comic knowledge and they don't tell you this, you'd have to research it on your own.
Yeah.
You know, so we leave with Jean Grey is dead. Xavier has left the school and Hank's in charge. It's called the Jean Grey School. Like, they leave this franchise in shambles. It's like,
whatever.
What a weird way to leave this 12 movie franchise.
Yeah, it's very odd.
But I will tell you what, though, seriously. So again, I saw this at 10 o'clock at night in IMAX opening weekend. One other person, no one on their phones, no one being irritating. I just sat back. I watched this movie and I'm like, it's pretty cool. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the things they tackled. There are obviously a lot of problems,
yes,
and we don't have the time to get into all of them. But there are issues with the movie, but I by no means think this is an awful movie.
I thought it was atrocious.
I don't think so. I think that the actors are good. I think that they brought up some really interesting points.
I think the actors are terrible. I don't like any of them at all.
I don't like Sophie.
With the exception of McAvoy and Fassbender.
Yeah.
You could kill, like, if this cast...
The Ready Player One kid is Cyclops.
Ugh.
Not a fan of that one.
Well, it's also tough because Cyclops is a hard character to...
Yeah.
Because you're not supposed to like Cyclops.
No.
That's the bottom line. And
that's
why...
he's supposed to be the leader?
Oh, yeah.
They make Mystique the leader, but Cyclops should be the one in charge of the team.
So, like, if I were to recast this, I would... Dan Stevens is who I would pick as...
I love Legion so
Scott
much.
Scott Summers.
It's so weird. I love it so much.
Jane Levy... Who the aged gap is a little wonky, but she would be my Jean Grey.
Okay.
Wyatt Russell is your Wolverine.
Of course.
Who is the gal who was also in Ready Player One? Whoever that gal, Olivia.
Artemis,
something.
The real, whoever
yes.
played Artemis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She is your, like, if I were to do this, she is your audience. No, she's your Kitty Pride.
Oh, Kitty Pride.
But it's Kitty. That story is Kitty Pride joining the X-Men, right? So she is the audience. She's your avatar going into this world where everything is already there. So you're like, it would be a Kitty Pride movie. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking about. That was Ellen Page, right?
In the original
Days of Future Past.
Yeah, yeah.
And then True Blood was
was Rogue.
Rogue, yeah.
Anna Paquin. Yeah. But yeah, like it, and then you can cast, figure out your cast from there.
Yeah.
But I think those three are the ones that you need to cast.
I think to sum it up, it's just this movie, it's very sad that this is the way they've ended this franchise, this version of the franchise, because you got to remember, I mean, X-Men 2000.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Blade was around. I mean, if you really want to talk about it, but yeah. I mean, but it didn't get as big as X-Men. I mean, X-Men 2000 started this whole superhero resurgence.
Yeah. 20 years ago.
And they've made some really great movies. They made some bad ones, but they've made some really great ones, and now it's over with this one, and it's just like, man,
this is kind of an end of the era. Like, there, you're not going to get the MCU stuff, like the Marvel stuff that wasn't Disney. This is it. This is your last one.
And you know, it makes you wonder, because you know Hollywood isn't good about letting a franchise go out on top,
right?
And so it makes me wonder. At some point, will we see the MCU just kind of fizzle out like this?
I don't know.
That's a great question. Does Disney allow that to happen?
Because, I mean, nobody can keep that track record going forever.
No.
You know, and so, and I don't think they're going to, you know.
It's like Pixar. They made the Good Dinosaur. That was their first actual flop.
Right.
And we thought, well, I mean, they just never happened until that.
Right.
And then you're like, oh.
And so I just wonder, like, will they, you know, be able to say, and we're done, or will it just eventually be like, oh, I guess nobody cares anymore?
Yeah, I think
it just kind of quietly goes away.
What if you, I mean, if that's the case, maybe you switch to the service, to the streaming service, and you start doing smaller movies, or maybe 6-episode TV shows or something.
They'll have to be making a lot less money. I mean, because the thing is, though, I mean, what do you consider a failure when these movies
yeah,
cost,
that's a great
these,
point.
These movies cost $200 million to make, and they make $1.5 billion, $1 billion on a bad day.
Yeah.
Like, if it costs $200 million and they make $700 million, they're still making a couple hundred million.
Yeah,
like,
right.
And what, I mean, they're going to have to really do poorly, which I don't know how anytime soon that could happen. Maybe in Phase 5, you know, but you got Spider-Man, you have Guardians, like, you've got hot properties.
Oh, I know. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon,
yeah.
But it's, it, I mean.
But, okay, do you, like, I'm curious, honestly, like, is Thor 2 a failure?
Like, financially? No.
But, I mean, that people consider that pretty bad, but, I mean, no one even think it's a blip, it's a speed bump,
right?
Know, and now,
I mean, part of what they've got going for them is they have so much
content
in the chamber ready
yeah.
to go
right.
that when they do hit a speed bump, it that's exactly what it is. They're not just gonna like hit the escape
right.
valve
right.
and bail on the whole franchise at this point. So they're gonna have to hit a couple
yeah.
snags in a row,
yeah.
Because it's like, it blew my mind realizing that Spider-Man's next month.
Oh, yeah.
We just got done with Endgame, the second highest grossing movie of all time, $50 million under Avatar. So basically the highest grossing movie of all
it
time.
It should break the record. And it'll get
if a bump.
If,
if you don't count Avatar's re-release, to be fair, initial run, it's higher than Avatar.
Oh, okay.
So they could re-release this again. Maybe someday it will be higher.
But you got to think, it's going to get a bump when Spider-Man comes out.
It could. People if it's still in there, they yeah. think it might be gone.
Oh,
this
really?
Weekend. But the point is, we just had this huge culture redefining moment in film, and then it's like Spider-Man's out a month from now. That just blows my mind that they have that kind of, you know, stuff ready to go.
Are they
where it's like,
is that it, though? Are they done for the year after Spider-Man? I think they are.
They don't have yeah, because they got Star Wars.
Yeah.
So Disney has their other.
Right,
yeah.
right.
So,
but yeah, I think we'll see I believe we'll see that MCU slate in San Diego.
Yeah.
I think we'll see the Phase 4 slate in San Diego.
It'll be interesting to see what they have in store. I mean,
we know that it's Spider-Man, Shang-Chi, The Eternals, Guardians 3, Doctor Strange 2, and Black Panther 2.
They're going to do that in San Diego and not D23?
Is there a D23 this year?
I thought there was one every year.
No, it's every other.
Oh, it's every other year. Yeah. So okay. I think last year was D23.
Gotcha.
This year is San Diego.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see, you know, and I know that, you know, I Ant-Man or Guardians. I was like, nope. I feel like the Eternals.
I love Ant-Man, but I feel like that's the one that, like, if they want to make room for this other stuff, I think Ant-Man's going to have to go to, like, an every other phase, or just, like,
yeah.
throw them into your other, you know, like, it could be, like Ant-Man and the Wasp was. It could be Ant-Man and whatever.
Well, I think you'll get, from now on, you'll get Ant-Man and the Wasp. That's yeah. what you're going to get. Is
no,
that,
but I don't think they're going to get their own movie is my point. Anytime soon, I think they got to make room. You just added Black Panther and Spider-Man. Like, all
right.
these people are coming in.
Yeah. The Eternals is the big one. Like, that's, I mean, if they, I feel like that's the one where they're just like, we can spin off, like, if we have Hercules, like, in the Eternals, and we happen to lose Hemsworth, we can flip Hercules in for Thor, because they're basically the same character.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I see. So actually bring in Hercules and
correct.
Have him do
like, yeah. You can forget the rest of the Eternals and be yeah. like, but we had Hercules, and people liked that one character, so we can just move him into
good call. Try him out, see what works, and you can move him in.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But
they've got unlimited. I mean, yeah. The Marvel, the stuff they own now with Fox.
Right.
I mean,
it's going to be the X-Men versus the Avengers. Like, that's what we're yeah. going to get. That's going to happen. I mark my words, at some point, it may not be phase 5,
yeah.
maybe in phase 6.
You think that might be the big showdown?
I think the big showdown next will be Galactus.
Yeah.
That'll be your next big thing, but you are going to get X-Men versus Avengers.
All
right. Okay, well, heard it here.
You heard it here first.
So, goodbye Fox X-Men.
Yeah, yeah. Goodbye Fox.
Yeah. Yeah, that too.
The Fox, are they the Fox Men, or is this the X-Men?
The X-Men.
Whatever you want to call
it's
them.
The X-Men.
So, well, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table, and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert, or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. And you can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. Also, don't forget, we're available on Patreon at patreon.com/real spoilers, where for $5 a month you get bonus content, and maybe you'll even be on the show. Who knows? So that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Men in Black International, or if you're fancy, International.
Ooh.
Yeah. So thanks for tuning in, and until next time, Virgil stays behind.
Please welcome Sophie Turner. Hey, Mommy Shark.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.